Blog Talk Radio.
We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, do ordain and establish this
and
Constitution,
go, my fellow Americans,
the United States of America.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for
this nation. Under God, shall have a new birth of freedom, and the government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth.
So sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery. Forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
From the very heart of the Constitutional Republic of the United States of America, from the soul of the Bellwether State, Missouri Grassroots Radio is live.
Live we are Thursday night. This is the Hour of Truth. I'm Dave. This is Missouri Grassroots Radio Network, the number one voice of true liberty in a land where liberty is under fire. I saw the neatest thing today, and I've been watching for it to happen. Don't know if you follow my Facebook page, probably not. If you do, you've seen some photos there as this thing goes along, but about 37 days ago, a robin started building a nest in under the eave of my house. I've been following it, and about 26 days ago, she started sitting on the nest, so the eggs were there. Today, three robins took flight from that nest. That nest is forever vacant now. I'll be tearing it down so that another bird can build there next year. But it was a sight to behold. Three robins who 26 days ago were so dependent on their parents that they would have died without them. Now free and on their own to make it or die. And that is a beautiful sight. I love it. Every spring I see something like that that just reminds me of what real liberty and real independence is all about, and how we are expected to go into the world at some point in time free of our parents and set out on our own to make it or break it, basically. And that is what America is all about, and that is going to tie in beautifully to everything we're going to talk about tonight. It's free speech night. If you've got anything in the Patriot agenda that you want to talk about, give us a call, 347-677-1835, 347-677-1835. If you're listening and you have a pencil and paper, I want you to write this down. If you don't have a pencil and paper, then that's all right. Just try to remember it. I'll remember it for you if you don't. But the number I want you to remember is 15,782,496,000,000. And that's rounded off. That is our national debt when we start this show. 15,782,496,000,000. That is 50,304 dollars for every man, woman, and child. $138,719 for every U.S. taxpayer. For our National Minute, that's exactly what we're going to talk about. And let's just start off with cut one tonight.
The problem is that the way Bush has done it over the last 8 years is to take out a credit card from the Bank of China in the name of our children, driving up our national debt from $5 trillion for the first 42 presidents. Number 43 added $4 trillion by his lonesome, so that we now have over $9 trillion of debt.
I'm going to break that cut right there and say that there is one thing, at least, that I agree with Barack Obama 100%. It is shameful what George Bush did to this country for 8 years when he added $4 trillion to the national debt, taking us from $5 trillion to $9 trillion in 8 years. There is no excuse for it. And it's quite frankly sinful and, as Barack Obama says, unpatriotic.
The problem is that the way Bush has done it over the last 8 years is to take out a credit card from the Bank of China in the name of our children, driving up our national debt from $5 trillion for the first 42 presidents. Number 43 added $4 trillion by his lonesome, so that we now have over $9 trillion of debt that we are going to have to pay back. $30,000 for every man, woman, and child. That's irresponsible. It's unpatriotic.
I don't know why already we do not see these words on Republican advertisements. I am absolutely beside myself as to why already and every minute from now till November, we aren't seeing this speech given in July of 2008 on every TV station and hearing it on every radio station in the United States of America. Because I'm preaching to the choir here, you've all heard it before, Barack Obama has increased in 3 years our national debt from $9 trillion, the $9 trillion that Bush left him, the $9 trillion that he blames for all of the woes in this country, to $15 trillion, increasing the debt for every man, woman, and child from $30,000 to $50,304. I'm not going to sit here and do the math on what that is per year in increase, but sinfully, criminally, George Bush increased the national debt by $4 trillion in 8 years. And the man who called that unpatriotic has increased it $6 trillion in three. So do the math on that and figure out exactly who is unpatriotic here.
I will be held accountable. I've got 4 years. If I don't have this done in 3 years, then there's going to be a one-term proposition.
That's our national minute, but we're going to move right from there into what that means to you, the voter in Missouri. And I'm going to tell you that it is time, grassroots Americans, to do what we are supposed to do. And that is worry about our state legislator, worry about our federal legislator who goes to Washington, D.C., and forget about the president. It is time for us to return the president through the legislature to exactly what he is supposed to be, and that is insignificant to our day-to-day life. The president is not supposed to be the one who makes these kinds of decisions, and I'm going to tell you, he's not. The president of the United States, neither George W. Bush nor Barack Obama, increased the national debt by either $4 trillion in 8 years or $6 trillion in 3 years. And the president is not going to undo this problem. The names we need to be talking about when we talk about who is responsible for six additional $6 trillion in debt are names like Emerson, Long, Aiken, McCaskill, Blunt, et al. These are the people responsible to you for the national debt in this country and for the increase of $6 trillion in that debt in the last 6 years. And listen, the number that we've just used is really the tip of the iceberg. They have borrowed an additional $6 trillion. They have increased the national debt exponentially from that $6 trillion because of the interest, of course. And we're going to see that as the show goes on here. I've got the debt clock up and running, and we're going to keep ticking this off as the show goes on. So here in Missouri, we have to start thinking about what we're going to do about this national debt. And the things we're going to do about it are we're going to replace our state legislature. And you ask me here how that has anything to do with the national debt. Our legislature was told in no uncertain terms by 71% of the voters in the state of Missouri to get this Obama nullification done. Get it finished. Get it over with. It dawdled in the House. Now, this Obama nullification bill was pre-filed, brothers and sisters. It was sitting there for action the day the legislature went to work. It sat in the House idly. The bill that was introduced in the Senate never moved. The House finally passed the bill and sent it to the Senate on the next to last day of the session, where it floundered until it died. So these kinds of things are the things that you need to be looking at when you go to the polls this primary season, because this primary season is when you're going to tell those Republican legislators who sold themselves to you as Tea Party conservatives when they went to town that you are finished. This primary season, we're not even worried about November. We need to get these people out this primary season. So you go to house.mo.gov and senate.mo.gov. You find your representatives and you find out what they did about Obama nullification. And you vote accordingly, because that is what you do. This nullification thing, and I'm telling you right now, Dave Court is in Bill Randall's corner for governor, because this nullification thing is what is going to save this nation. When Missouri and 30, 35, 40, 45 states get on board with nullification, with telling the federal government, no, no more, we're done with you, then we'll get something done about these things. When you, in the primaries, replace people like Emerson, Long, Aiken, and Blunt, when you say, no, we are done with you, then we'll get something done about this climbing, preposterous, unpatriotic national debt. I got to do this one more time.
The problem is that the way Bush has done it over the last 8 years is to take out a credit card from the Bank of China in the name of our children, driving up our national debt from $5 trillion for the first 42 presidents. Number 43 added $4 trillion by his lonesome, so that we now have over $9 trillion of debt that we are going to have to pay back. $30,000 for every man, woman, and child. That's irresponsible. It's unpatriotic.
Emerson, Long, Aiken, McCaskill, Blunt. Now, those are names I picked out. You go to the United States Senate and to the United States House website. You look up, well, you don't even need to look up your House of Representatives member, because if you live in Missouri, your House of Representatives member voted for the debt ceiling increase. Now, There was some jostling around there. There is some politics going on in the national debt ceiling increase. There was an argument in the House. A bill went back to the Senate. The bill got modified in the Senate, and that is where the super committee got added on. The passed bill with the super committee compromise came back to the House. Now I'm going to tell you this story one more time because it just is so how it goes. The night that bill came out of the Senate and back to the House, I got a telephone call. It was from Todd Akin. He was just getting around to announcing his run to move over to the Senate for Claire McCaskill's seat. A hot topic in that discussion, who the heck knows how many people were in the call, but a hot topic of discussion there was cut, cap, and balance, and the upcoming vote tomorrow on the increase in the debt ceiling. It was known at that time what the compromise sent over to the Senate from the House was. It was known that the compromise involved raising the debt ceiling with no promise to cut, with no promise to cap, with no promise to balance, and with a promise to engage this super committee to find the necessary cuts to make this less sinful. The listeners on that call were told in no uncertain terms that Todd Akin would not back that bill. Now, when a bill, for those of you who don't know it, and I think most of you do, but I'm going to go through this for a second anyway. When the bill gets to the House, there is a procedure that goes through where they debate the bill and everybody gets up and says how terrible it is, and the Todd Akins and the Billy Longs and the Joanne Emersons all get up and say, this is a horrible, horrible thing. We don't need to be doing this. And then there comes a vote at some point in that process to end the debate and actually move the question. That is, we're done talking now. Let's actually vote on the question of whether we're going to do this. Now, that vote takes a supermajority. That vote is where you get to kill things. And in that vote, every representative from the state of Missouri voted to move that bill along. And then, when it gets time to vote on the bill, and all you need is a majority, then all the senators, like Emerson, Long, Akin, they can vote no when they've really already voted yes because they voted to move the bill out of debate. They can vote no, come off of this smelling politically good, come home and say, I voted against this thing. Well, that just isn't true because the chance that they had to stop this thing dead was in that vote to bring that thing out of debate and onto the floor. So, in fact, every representative in the House of Representatives from the great state of Missouri voted in favor of the debt ceiling increase by allowing that bill to get out of debate and onto the floor. Those are the people that need to be replaced, and they need to be replaced in this primary because if you let them escape, if you let them slide under the wire on August 7th and get to the November general election, it's too late to replace them because you'll be replacing them with a socialist liberal. That brings us to our next topic of discussion. When you talk about whether or not you want Akin or McCaskill, is one socialist liberal any better than another socialist liberal? And our next topic of discussion is what to do about this Mitt Romney fiasco. In the circles where I hang, this has been a contentious issue for the past couple of days, sparked from a powder keg to a major explosion by the Rand Paul endorsement and the wondering about what's going to happen with Ron Paul. And we're going to go into that in depth after this break. We want you to call in and voice your opinion, 347-677-1835, 347-677-1835. We have 1,055 listeners, 1,055, somebody out there has an opinion on some of this stuff, and we'd love to hear it. We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back.
Okay, Missouri Patriots, I don't have to remind you that our ancestors fought and died for our right to exercise our voices and shape government in the interests of the people. And yet, in most elections, less than 20% of the population bothers to vote. Gas prices are outrageous, the economy is a disaster, and we are being regulated to death. Bad government and weak leadership are destroying the American way of life on a national and state level, and it's time to send a message to Washington, D.C. and Jefferson City and tell them we have had enough. If you're not registered to vote, the deadline to be eligible to vote in the August primary is July 11th and October 10th for the general election in November. The Patriot Revolution begins in 2012, and it happens at the polls. Vote in the August primary and the November general election, and bring a friend. The Constitutional Republic depends on it.
Jobs, taxes, traditional family values, education, protecting the unborn, Second Amendment, tort reform. These are the issues facing Missourians today. Hi, I'm Terry Barner. As your next state senator, I will continue to work to change government by preserving our liberties, reining in wasteful spending, and making the state of Missouri responsive to its citizens. I am a pro-life constitutionalist who believes our state and federal constitution are there for our protection from overreaching government. I firmly believe that only by ignoring those documents has the government at all levels been able to trample on the liberty of its people. I would appreciate your vote this August 7th. I'm Terry Barner, and I approve this message.
So dear, for peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery. Forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
Hour of Truth, I'm Dave. This is the Missouri Grassroots Radio Network, the number one voice of true liberty in a land where liberty is under fire. We're at 347-677-1835. That's 347-677-1835. Why am I talking about all this stuff tonight? Why is this a free speech hour when I had promised you that we would be continuing our vetting session with Scott Largent, Ed Emery, and Dave Morris, a three-way primary in Missouri 31? The reason is because Scott Largent and Dave Morris didn't even bother responding to our request that they appear. Ed Emery did respond and apologized that he would not be able to appear. He had a prior commitment. We have decided then to give Ed Monday night. So Ed will be with us Monday night. I've just confirmed that with his man, Ron Calzone, a good friend of mine from Missouri First. And we will have Ed on Monday for as long as Ed wants to be with us. We have 90 minutes to kill on Monday. We'd love to talk to Ed. And as it turns out, I am more in tune here than I've ever been in past years. None of these three guys will represent me in Jefferson City directly as representatives of my district. I'm not in Mo 31. But because of this show here, I've been studying everyone. So I can tell you right now that in the end, regardless of how tonight's conversation would have gone, Emery would 90% likely be the grassroots approved candidate for this race. So we're going to go ahead and let Ed come on Monday night. He had a prior engagement tonight. We'll give him some time. We'll ask him all the hard questions that we ask everybody else. You know, my idea that Ed was going to emerge from this thing as the best choice is not going to cause us to back off of putting him on the spot with the questions that are important to you, the grassroots constituency. And I said that Ed Emery, Scott Largent, or Dave Morris were not going to be my representative. But the fact of the matter is, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, in the Constitution, that you better consider yourself pretty responsible now for everyone who goes to Jefferson City. And that's what Missouri Grassroots Coalition and organizations like Ron Calzone's Missouri First are all about. That is taking every legislator and holding every foot to the fire on every issue. And this wonderful world of internet, this wonderful world of radio, this wonderful world of newsletters, we can do that nowadays more than ever before. More than ever before, every senator, every member of the House in Jefferson City is representing you, and you have an input. At places like Missouri Grassroots Coalition, that's Missouri Grassroots Coalition group on Facebook, or Missouri Grassroots Coalition at MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org, we can get together and we can talk about our representative and what they are as far as constitutional or not. We can talk about your representative. We can talk about my representative. We can talk about Ron Calzone's representative. We can talk about every representative in the state. And the beauty of groups like Missouri First and my group, or the group that I'm a member of, I don't want to say my group as though it is my group. It isn't my group, but the group that I participate heavily in, Missouri Grassroots Coalition, is that there is no reason why, when you've got a tight race, like the one we talked to the other night, Jim Strophas, who needs to be going to Washington or to Jefferson City, I've forgotten the one we did the other night, where it was a clear choice between an incumbent who's proven he can't do the job and an upstart who says, give me a shot. This is what I believe, and I can do it. There's no reason why, when we've got a tight race like that, and you're sitting in a district where the thing is wrapped, that you hadn't ought to be putting a $5 bill. All 110,000 of us hadn't ought to be putting a $5 bill in the mail and sending it in there. And that's what groups like Missouri First and Missouri Grassroots Coalition are good for. We can highlight those areas where we need to get a constitutional conservative in power. And there's no reason why 100,000 $5 bills can't go in the mail. We can all afford $5 to restore the Constitution, to restore our liberty, and we can help these people out. So where was I going with my talk about the Robins, which turned into my talk about the debt, which turned into my talk about Obama and Bush, which turned into my talk about Emerson, Long, Aiken, McCaskill, and Blunt? Where I was going with that next was a discussion that's been going on heatedly and with much name-calling in the last week. In case you missed the news, and I know you didn't, Rand Paul, son of Ron Paul, who has finally conceded that he's not going to have anywhere near the delegates to stop Romney from getting the nomination, that the math just doesn't work. Rand Paul, his son, has come out with a formal endorsement of Mitt Romney as the nominee, because he will be. And that has caused a lot of consternation in the Ron Paul slash libertarian slash constitutionalist slash patriot groups who are still stomping up and down saying, I'm just not going to vote, I'm just not going to vote, I'm just not going to vote, I'm not going to compromise my principles. We're waiting to hear what Ron Paul does. He's making noise now that he's not going to attend this counterculture movement meeting that was going to go on to kind of solidify the I'm going to take my toys and go home group of people who are going to just drop out of participation in our government because their guy didn't win. We've talked about that at length. We've talked about the implications of that at length. I'm nauseous about talking about how, well, quite frankly, I mean, how not voting is a vote for Obama. You can make all the arguments in the world that it's not. Someone said, no, you don't vote for Obama unless you go and put an X on the ballot beside Obama's name. Well, if you don't vote, you voted for whoever wins, quite frankly. I mean, that's it. So if Obama wins and you didn't vote, you voted for Obama. If Romney wins and you didn't vote, then you voted by absentee for Romney. If you don't vote, then quite frankly, you voted for the winner. Not quite frankly, but quite factually. I mean, quite realistically. I want to say quite frankly, as though, in my opinion, and I'm being really frank about this, I mean, the logical conclusion is that if you don't vote, you picked the winner. I'm willing, quite frankly, to let you just go and sit in the corner and pout because I am convinced that we are looking at a near landslide. So go pout, go do whatever it is you want to do. But what I was getting at with this is I want us to continue to beat the drum in the Missouri Grassroots Coalition. It's all over. It's all over. We can all stop worrying about whether it's going to be Ron Paul or Newt Gingrich or Herman Cain or Mitt Romney. It's all over. We've been distracted by that for some time. We said when we formed Missouri Grassroots Coalition back in December of 2011, with three or four people who dropped out of the Herman Cain campaign, or didn't drop out, who were left standing holding the bag when the Herman Cain campaign dropped out on us. Listen, Ron Paul people, do you think you are any more disillusioned now than I was the day that Herman Cain stood up there and told me that he was dropping out? Do you think I am any more sold on Mitt Romney today than I was when I was on the Cain train? No, but here it is. Here it is. It's time to shit or get off the pot. And we need to continue to beat the drum on this thing and continue to keep drilling into people's heads that our job, even though we're voting for Mitt Romney, is to make Mitt Romney totally irrelevant to our everyday lives. Make the President of the United States exactly what he is supposed to be constitutionally, and that is irrelevant to the day-to-day lives of American citizens. The President is not the person who increases the national debt. The president is not the person who funds illegal wars. The president is not the person who continues to spend endless tons and tons of money on endless ridiculous entitlement programs to buy votes. The president is not the person who runs the economy of this country. The president is not the person who either directly or by proxy passes all these ridiculous regulations that are killing the country. The president is not the person who decides whether or not there will be a Department of Education next year. The president is not the person who decides anything except where and how to use the American military force. And that is the only thing I disagreed with Ron Paul on, quite frankly. And how and when to host a state dinner at the White House. The president is the commander-in-chief of the armed forces. He has the power of the veto, and that is not a ridiculous power. Now, let's talk about one reason why, you powders. Let's talk about one reason why, you people who want to take the ball and go home. Let's talk about one reason why you owe it to the Constitution of the United States and to the people who are conservative, libertarian Americans to go and vote for Mitt Romney. And that is that in all likelihood, the next president of the United States is going to appoint, if he's there for 4 years, three Supreme Court justices. If he's there for 8 years, in all likelihood, he's going to do four. Ginsburg will be 83 in 8 years. Breyer will be 82. Scalia will be 84, and Kennedy will be 84 in 8 years. So if the next president coming in is in for 8 years, he will almost certainly appoint four Supreme Court justices and maybe as many as five or six, as you've got two that will be in their upper 70s by that time. And that's that. This is assuming that nobody dies. This is assuming that nobody has a car wreck or that no airplane crashes on someone's house. This is just normal retirement, get sick, drop over age for these people. So you better get off your can, you better get out, and you better cast your vote with that in mind, if nothing else. Now, that was a sidetrack from where I was. That and I sidetracked there because that is one thing that the president does that does have a repercussion on our day-to-day life. However, even that requires the cooperation of the Senate and the House of Representatives. That Senate and that House of Representatives, that is where decisions are made. And I'm telling you, you say, no, you know, they're not the EPA. The EPA is part of the executive branch. The EPA exists because your House of Representatives continues to fund it and because your Senate continues to let it exist. The Senate of the United States has all of the power in the world. The Senate that ought to be constitutionally representing the state, not the people of the state, but ought to be representing the interest of the state of Missouri. Two senators, Claire McCaskill and Roy Blunt, who ought to be representing the interest of the entity of the state of Missouri, can say no more EPA, period. There is not going to be any more FDA. There isn't going to be any more Federal Communications Commission. Only because they have reneged that power only because they have given that power by proxy to the executive branch, can the EPA come in and the Department of Agriculture come in and the Federal Communications Commission come in and do the brazenly unconstitutional things they do day after day after day. Your representative in the House of Representatives from the state of Missouri, who is supposed to constitutionally represent you, an individual, your individual liberty, your individual rights, your individual freedom, that member of the House of Representatives who is supposed to be your individual voice in Washington, D.C., controls 100% the appropriations of the federal monies. Right there, you could say, no more Department of Education. Right there, you could say, no more FDA. Right there, you could say, no more Department of Agriculture. So, get over Romney. Get over Ron Paul. Get over Michelle Bachmann. Get over Rick Santorum. And get over Herman Cain. And do what you need to do to put these people where they belong constitutionally, and that is in an office where they are totally and completely out of your life. And give that power through your vote for constitutional conservatives back to the representatives of your state and the representatives of you in Washington, D.C. That's where we were going with the Robins. That's where we were going with the freedom. That's where we were going with the liberty and the responsibility of leaving the nest and getting off of the entitlement state. That's where we were going with our talk about Emerson and Long and Aiken and McCaskill and Blunt and the votes for the debt ceiling increase. That's where we were going with our talk about the debt and our talk about George Bush and Barack Obama being absolutely no different from one another except to a matter of degree when it comes to hawking the future of your children and your grandchildren. We'll go on a little bit more when we come back from this break.
Hey, free market capitalist Missouri business owners, show Missouri and the rest of the country what hardworking, successful entrepreneurship looks like by advertising your business on Missouri Grassroots Radio. Get your message out to liberty-loving citizens who want to support liberty-loving capitalists. Target this unique and widespread market with your business's unique and valuable products and services. Contact us at info@MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org for details. Okay, Missouri Patriots, I don't have to remind you that our ancestors fought and died for our right to exercise our voices and shape government in the interests of the people. And yet, in most elections, less than 20% of the population bothers to vote. Gas prices are outrageous, the economy is a disaster, and we are being regulated to death. Bad government and weak leadership are destroying the American way of life on a national and state level, and it's time to send a message to Washington, D.C. and Jefferson City and tell them we have had enough. If you're not registered to vote, the deadline to be eligible to vote in the August primary is July 11th and October 10th for the general election in November. The Patriot Revolution begins in 2012, and it happens at the polls. Vote in the August primary and the November general election, and bring a friend. The Constitutional Republic depends on it.
And the government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth.
That's it. We're here. Okay, hold on one second. We have a caller. I have no call screener tonight, so you're going to hear me take this call. Hey, it's Dave. How are you?
Hey, Dave. This is Ron Calzone.
Hey, Ron. How you doing?
I'm just doing super. You know, I've been enjoying listening to your program this evening, and boy, you've said some things. I just can't help but chime in a little bit.
Good, thanks.
You know, the coolest thing I've heard you say is how important it is for us to make Mr. Obama or Mr. Romney or whoever the Mr. President is, or Congress, or any of the bureaucrats in D.C., how it's our job to make them as irrelevant as possible.
Absolutely. And the same goes for our state and the governor. You know, I mean, we can sit around, we can talk about our governor, and you know, I mean, I've declared whose camp I'm in, and we all want rid of Nixon. Just, and it's just like the national race. But where it matters is the Ed Emerys, isn't it?
Well, absolutely. You know, I'll tell you what, if you take a look at what's happening to the Missouri Senate, it's really kind of a scary thing. We're going to have fewer champions of liberty than we've had in quite some time, you know, with redistricting and just losing some people to term limits. And it's more important than ever to get guys like Ed Emery representing us in the Senate. And you're exactly right as well. Just because he might be halfway across the state, or for you all the way across the state, that doesn't mean that what that senator or that rep does doesn't affect your life. You know, every one of them's got one vote. So,
absolutely, and sadly, there are still an awful lot of districts in the state of Missouri, both in the House and the Senate, where you might as well not give to anybody. You might as well find a guy who believes in the Constitution and who believes in liberty and send him $5 as to spend any money in your own district.
Well, I think that's exactly right. It just depends on, you know, who you've got. I think sometimes you're somebody close and you can be boots on the ground for him.
Right.
And believe me, that's incredibly important during
the
primary. And so I'm driving. Let me say this. You mentioned that I was trying to help Ed Emery out. For the last 12 or 13 years or so, I've been acting as a citizen lobbyist in Jefferson City, and I really kind of try to stay away from endorsing candidates.
Right.
Very, very seldom will I put my name on a candidate's race, and Ed is one of them I've done that for. And me and my family are driving every weekend 3 hours from central Missouri to his district on the west side of the state, and working all weekend trying to do what we can, because I think it's that important.
Exactly. And let me just tell the listeners really quickly, this is Ron. This is Ron Calzone. I've talked about him earlier in the program. He is Ed Emery's guy. He's the guy that I've been dealing with, who's lined up Ed for us for a Monday night show. Ed was invited tonight along with his primary opponents, and both of them didn't even bother responding to our request, and Ed did respond. He had something going, or he responded through Ron. Ron, you and I met. You don't remember me from Adam, but when at the consent of the governed, you were sitting at the end of the table there cussing because your printer wasn't working.
I wasn't cussing.
No, you weren't. No, probably as close as you come to cussing, but no, you weren't. No,
I was fuming, but I
Ron,
wasn't cussing.
You were fuming. No, Ron, Ron's a good Christian man, and I'm sure that he wasn't cussing even at the printer, or at the governor, for that matter. But yeah, Ron is a freedom-loving American. Tell us about that organization you run, Ron, real quick.
Well, you know, we have more than one project going on, but Missouri First has been around for, 15 years or so. And Missouri First is, well, our motto is dedicated to the sovereignty of Missourians. And so we've been talking about needing to restore sovereignty before it was cool. You know, now everybody likes to talk about the need to restore the sovereignty of the states, and really more accurately, the people of the states. But just not very many years ago, if you said you went to the state capitol and you used the word sovereignty, they looked at you like you had two heads.
What does that mean?
What does that mean? They might say you're some kind of neo-Confederate or who knows what. But you know, now it's all of a sudden cool to understand the constitutional roles and responsibilities of the federal versus the state government, and the sovereignty of individuals within the state. And you know, now we've even got good dialogue about state nullification. You know, I think you mentioned earlier just how important it is for a state, when it sees an unconstitutional federal edict like Obamacare or you know, a few years ago, NAIS or Real ID, and it's important for the states to stand up and say, you know, you have no authority to do this, federal government. We didn't grant you that authority in the compact that we call the U.S. Constitution. What makes you think that you can do that? You don't. We're going to ignore it. That's basically what nullification is. And you know, the way I like to explain it is if Fidel Castro wrote an executive order saying that the speed limit on all Missouri highways was going to be 55 miles an hour, what would we do about it?
Yep.
You know, we might bother to send him a letter and say, I'm sorry, Mr. Castro, but you have no jurisdiction. Or we might just ignore it. But, you know, that's the same dynamic that you have when Congress tries to act outside the constraints of the Constitution. It's not a law at all. It's just an edict with no authority, and the states have the right. In fact, I think the states have the duty.
Exactly.
We're going to protect our people from this unconstitutional edict. And so all of that is part of sovereignty, and that's what Missouri First is about. We've been trying to promote the return to constitutional governance and respect for the Constitution in general for you know, well over a decade. And it's so cool. It's so cool to see so many patriots now jumping on that bandwagon. And I'm not saying they're jumping on our bandwagon, but we're pulling the same direction, and we're getting more done than ever. It's really heartening.
It is. It is. There's still a long way to go, Ron. There still is a long way to go. There still is a lot more education. There still are too many people who don't get what state sovereignty is all about. But I do feel like the tide is turning in the right direction here.
It is. But, you know, our challenge is that I think that the Patriot movement kind of caught some establishment big government people kind of by surprise, kind of caught them with their pants down.
Yeah.
And the challenge we have is that they, you know, they've regrouped and they figured out how to counter it. And so I really think that we've missed kind of a golden window of opportunity, with respect to Obamacare especially.
Yes.
A couple years ago, 71% of Missourians said no to Obamacare, and the next legislative session we should have followed up with a death blow to it.
Yep.
And we didn't do it. And in this last legislative session, we had some good bills filed. We had, a real amendment to the Missouri Constitution that really would be a health care freedom amendment, something that has more teeth than Prop C had. And then we had the nullification of Obamacare, which was sponsored by Kurt Barr in the House. And it passed the House quite readily, and then it got bogged down in the Senate, as you discussed. But that actually had penalties for federal officials that would come and try to foist Obamacare on us. So those are the kind of things that should have been done a year ago.
Exactly.
And you know, on the heels of Prop C.
Yep. You're absolutely right. I've called Ron Calzone, a good friend of mine, dear listeners, and I say he's a good friend of mine. We're on the same side. We communicate quite a bit through Missouri First and through Missouri Grassroots Coalition. I've emailed him several times. Quite frankly, I've emailed him several times on questions that I have about how things are working in the Senate and the House. I'm not nearly as knowledgeable as Ron is, but Ron's a friend of yours too. Whether you know it or not, Ron is up there every day fighting for the Constitution, fighting for your sovereignty, fighting for your liberty. And we all owe Ron a great gratitude for everything he does every day. Thanks, Ron.
Well, I appreciate you saying that, but you know, I've got to tell you that, especially the last few years, there have been more average citizens, patriots, spending time at the Capitol than ever before. And you know, you've got some great people. Like, I don't know if you maybe know Bev Allen. You know, Bev Allen is the head of Concerned Women for America.
Yep,
she's been up there for over a decade as well, and there's some other people like that.
Lisa had Bev on the other night. Yeah.
Okay, great. That's great.
Yeah.
You know, Bev is one of a small army of us that are just citizen lobbyists. We don't get paid by anybody. We're just there because we love liberty and we want to preserve the precepts of constitutional governance in Missouri. But more than ever, we've got people that are spending time. Maybe they can just be up there a few days out of the session, or maybe, you know, one day a week or one day every 2 weeks. But believe me, it makes a difference. And you know, one of the ways you and I've been working together is you've been using the witness forms on Liberty Tools.
Right. Beautiful.
And we, you know, we have literally thousands of people that are responding to our request to fill out witness forms when there's a bill. They can go online, you know, we send out an email and there's a link. They can follow that link, they go online and they fill out the witness form that goes into a database, and then we print it, and it's exactly the same witness form that you would turn in if you were actually at a hearing. When you can't be there, we're there for you, turning in your witness form. And, you know, just as an example, when that nullification bill hit the Senate, we had over 1,400 witness forms. It was about 1,450 witness forms that we turned in to that Senate hearing. It was a stack about 9 inches tall.
And the beauty, folks, of these witness forms that Ron is talking about, and you just have to fill one out to realize how beautiful this thing is. And I'm going to plug our own organization. If you'll join Missouri Grassroots Coalition, either on Facebook or MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org, you'll see Ron comes there when it's time. I mean, when there's something urgent that needs to be done, Ron comes there and he posts and he says, here's a link. All you got to do is click on the link to go to fill out this witness form. And the beauty of this witness form is it isn't a form letter. It isn't a letter that the legislature gets that has exactly the same words on it 1,000 times. You go on there, you tell them why you think this is bad. And that, I'm telling you, that sends a message.
Well, absolutely. So it's, you know, there's some of it are just boxes just to click, you know, you're for,
right,
you're against a bill and so forth. But then, yeah, there's a place for your personal testimony. And,
yes.
And one of the things that we're doing with this now is we can send a link, a customized link to each individual legislator, and it'll take them to their own personal web page that we set up for them that has a list of their constituents and the comments that their constituents made on the witness form. So even if they don't actually get, you know, the stack of witness forms, because there's just one stack that's turned in, and the other, you know, and the chairman of a committee gets that stack, and so the rest of the members would have to ask for it, and they usually won't do that. But even if they don't do that, then we can send them a link, and then they'll get to read your testimony right on their computer screen.
And if you think these guys and ladies don't read these things, if you think that what you write in there doesn't make a difference, then you missed a heartfelt performance if you missed the filibuster that killed the prescription drug bill, because you had, was there about, just about seven, right, Ron?
I'm sorry, about seven what?
Senators involved in that filibuster stopped that prescription drug bill. And I'll tell you what that filibuster amounted to, 99% of it was them standing there reading your emails against this thing.
That's exactly right. That's exactly what happened. And, you know, we started that with Chuck Ferguson's filibustering of
yes.
the Ford Motor Company credit bill. And we were there all night long. I mean, all night long and into the morning, taking emails. I mean, it's amazing how many people were sending emails at 3 o'clock and 4 o'clock in the morning. And Chuck would stand there, and it would, you know, not only did it give him something to read, but it helped encourage him to keep up with the filibuster. And then, you know, all of a sudden, the rest of these senators realized, hey, this guy's not by himself. There's people at home. They're not just at home knowing that this is happening. They're at home participating. And one senator said that that particular process that we used that night revolutionized the filibuster in the state of Missouri. And then the next big filibuster that came along was the one that you described, the prescription drug program, and we did the same thing. And, of course, this time we prevailed. We didn't prevail with the Ford credit filibuster because Chuck was all by himself.
Right.
But this time you get six or seven or eight senators together, and a filibuster is a powerful thing.
It is.
Again, in kind of going full circle, that's why it's so incredibly important to get the right guys in the Senate. And the only guy that I'm aware of that's running for Missouri Senate right now that I have that kind of faith in, enough faith to drive 3 hours every weekend and work on his campaign, plus a lot from home during the week, is Ed Emery. And I'm just really excited about him. Ed understands constitutional governance. He's making his campaign not just a campaign, but an opportunity to educate and, you know, about constitutional governance and free market principles. And so the filibuster is the unique tool of the Senate that requires special statesmen to carry out and do so properly. And that's why the Senate races are so important.
Right. We're looking forward to talking to Ed on Monday night, and be sure and pass along our thanks to him for being available for that. I'll be in touch with you over the weekend. As our audience knows, that I give the questions to everyone before they come on, and that's so that there's absolutely no gotchas here. What we want is an honest appraisal of what the people that we interview think about the questions that are important to us about constitutional government, about education, about Second Amendment, about liberty.
Yep, I think that's exactly right. Speaking of Second Amendment,
yes, sir.
I have spent my lovely wife, for my birthday, which was May 1st, so that's been a month and a half ago, she bought me a brand new Smith & Wesson M&P 40 cal.
Oh.
And I have had such long days, it seems like every time that I want to spend a little time shooting that thing, it's dark before I can, and I've got a range inside my barn, and I get to shoot it some there, but we're heading out again to work on Ed's campaign this weekend, and this evening might be my only time to try out that new 40 cal.
Well,
so, I'm gonna excuse myself.
You better get moving then. Yeah, thank you, Ron.
Good.
I'll be talking to you. I'll get you those questions, and we'll set a time for Ed to call in. Monday night's pretty open, so he can call in anytime he wants. Hey, everybody, this is that was Ron Calzone, and we are extremely grateful to him for everything he does every day. Thanks, Ron.
Thank you, Dave, for all your work.
We'll talk to you.
Okay.
Bye. That was Ron Calzone from Missouri First. What a guy. I mean, and he is absolutely dedicated to Emory. And I can't say because I'm just not going to flat out endorse anyone yet on this show, but there's a guy, I'm down here in Springfield, Missouri, and there's a Missouri Senate candidate in St. Louis who I'm doing quite a bit of work for myself because we just don't have a lot here in the way of constitutional. I always so hesitate to say constitutional conservative, because that conservative with a capital C is something I like to avoid. I'm a libertarian, I have as much trouble with people who call themselves capital C conservatives being about liberty as I do some people who call themselves capital L liberals being about liberty. So being a libertarian, I'd like to not say constitutional conservative. I'll just say constitutionalist, although I consider myself conservative. I use a small C when I say that, so that there's no, you know, that's a problem. That's a problem with libertarians. It's a problem. It's going to be a problem with Tea Party, brothers and sisters. When you turn a movement into a party, you're lost. You are absolutely lost. You start building in at that point the things that make you a little less about liberty and a little more about me, me, me. Okay, we've only got a little short time left. We're going to recap tonight. Did you write down a number? Did you write down a number that I gave you when we started? I didn't write it down when I read it to you. I wrote it down a couple of minutes before. So the number I have here is 15,782,491,000. That was when the show started. Now it is 15,782,514,000,000. In the amount of time that we've been talking here, the national debt has gone up $12 million. $12 million in the amount of time that we've been talking here tonight. That's what is happening. So when you say that George Bush added on $4 trillion in 8 years and Barack Obama added on $6 trillion in 3 years, forget that. Forget that, because that's how much money they borrowed. You can't just say they added on that much debt, because, brothers and sisters, that $12 million that's piled on there since you and I started talking tonight is also debt. We aren't paying that much interest. We're just accruing that much interest. So there we go with where we started. We started talking about that. Then we talked about, well, we started talking about the Robins, but that was just something cool that happened to me today, and I managed to be able to tie that in. We talked about that debt. We talked about how President Obama / Bush, the two big spenders of our lifetime, are not responsible for that debt. And we need to stop worrying. Stop worrying. Stop fighting about whether or not we're going to vote for Romney. Stop fighting about whether or not Ron Paul got screwed. Stop fighting and fuming with each other about who's a constitutionalist and who isn't. And let's all get constitutionalists. Let's all get back to the Constitution, and let's all know that it's names like Emerson, Long, Aiken, McCaskill, and Blunt who are responsible to you and to the state of Missouri, to you and to your children and to your grandchildren, and God bless us all, to your great-great-great-grandchildren at these figures, for this massive debt. These people are the ones who said, sure, yeah, here's a blank check, run with it. These people are the ones who are responsible to you for the amount of money that is spent in Washington, D.C. And we bring that right back down to the state. We had a talk with Ron Calzone, who's working hard for Ed Emery, and Ed Emery is going to be here with us on Monday night and have a talk with us about how disappointed, incredibly disappointed we were in the last legislative session, the last one or two. Ron took a chance to push his group, MissouriFirst.org, where he's got the Liberty Tools. You can use that during the legislative session to fill out witness forms. I encourage you to join us at Missouri Grassroots Coalition on Facebook or at MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org. Get involved there and be there when Ron sends out his alerts. I'll tell you, you could go to MissouriFirst.org and find the same thing you find in Missouri Grassroots Coalition. But Missouri Grassroots Coalition is fun, too, because we talk about lots of other things besides just a particular bill that's moving through the legislature right now. And God bless you, Ron Calzone, because I'm telling you, it is a full-time job just to keep track of bills that are moving in the legislature. There's lots and lots of other things going on in Missouri, lots of things going on in your cities, lots of things going on in your county with Agenda 21, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so we cover all that in Missouri Grassroots Coalition. We get you right down to the precinct level. And brothers and sisters, I want to take a second here to talk about this precinct level thing. You might be disillusioned with the Republican Party if you're a Republican. I'm not. I'm a libertarian, so I'm kind of yawning about the Republican Party because it's not changed much in my lifetime from my perspective. Now, I know from your perspective, if you're a conservative Republican, it has changed a lot. I say if you're a constitutionalist Republican, it has changed a lot. The reason is because the control of that party, if you are upset that your party had already decided who your nominee was going to be before this, before the show even started, and they had, if you are disgusted that your party is in bed with the mainstream media as much as the Liberal Party is in bed with the mainstream media, then the way you change your party, constitutionalist Republican, is at the precinct level. You run for that precinct representative. You run for one of those precinct seats. You run for one of those county seats. And when those seats at the very, that is the grassroots level, brothers and sisters, in your party. That is the grassroots level in your party. And if you want that party to be your party again, if you want the Republican Party of the state of Missouri to say no to the National Republican Party when the National Republican Party says, oh, well, here's our candidate. When you want the National Republican Party to say no to the establishment in Washington, D.C., you do that from the precinct level, from the county level, from the township level. And if you go to Missouri Grassroots Coalition and join up there, that's the level that you get in on. Now, we love Ron Calzone. We love Carl Bearden over there at United for Missouri. They feed us stuff all the time that we can get active in. And Tom Martz over at Locke & Smith. Dr. Lilly over at Locke & Smith. All great organizations who we draw information from. These people spend untold number of hours tracking pieces of legislation, track them into the committee, and we're going to talk tomorrow night about how a bill really becomes a law. Forget the Schoolhouse Rock thing, because there are so many things that go on once this thing gets into a committee, and once it comes out on the floor, and once it gets substituted here, and once it gets substituted there, and once it gets amended here, and once it gets amended there, so that, I say sometimes, but frequently, the bill that gets passed is nothing like the bill that you read when they posted it on the website where it's supposed to be transparently open to you. So these people like Ron Calzone and the others that I mentioned, they stay on top of this stuff. And we owe them a tremendous debt of gratitude for that, because we sit over here in Missouri Grassroots Coalition and we feel like we're dealing with a lot when we deal with making vetting forms so that you can vet your local candidate for mayor, when we deal with Agenda 21 creeping into the Christian County food code, when we deal with things like that, all of which are important, all of which are important. But then we've got guys out here like Ron who spend their time, god awful, you can't imagine the number of hours it takes to track the thousands of pieces of legislation as they move through this myriad of bullcrap in the rotunda up there. And these guys are on top of it. They are watching it for you. And then they come to Missouri Grassroots Coalition and they say, oops, here's one that we need you to work on. And that's when you need to be going to these places like Missouri First and saying, thank you very much, I'll do that. And so those are the things we need to be concentrating on. But you need to be working. You need to be taking full advantage and be incredibly grateful to people like Carl and Ron and Tom for the work that they do. And Gretchen over the Missouri Education Watchdog. Again, it is a full-time job for one person just to keep track of how education is being screwed by these people up there. I mean, this woman spends all of her time just taking care of you and education in the state of Missouri. Whether you're a homeschooler, whether you're a public schooler, whether you're a private schooler, in Jefferson City, they're trying to screw you on this education thing. I promise it. And Gretchen and her cohorts over at Missouri Education Watchdog, Lisa Payne Nager, our host last night, is huge on that. These people spend full time just dealing with education. So at Missouri Grassroots Coalition, we kind of, I don't want to say we steal these people's work, because I think we we have an important role to play by taking the work that these people do that we appreciate and getting it out to the grassroots level. That's you, the grassroots level. And so we're back to where I started before I got on my rant, and that is you get involved. You get involved in your local government. You get involved with your city council. You get involved with your county commission. You get involved by running for a precinct seat and taking your party back if you want it. That's all there is to it. If you want it, there it is. You can have it if you want it. If you don't take it, it can be assumed you don't want it. So if you're going to come here every day, if you're going to complain and come here 1058 right now, come here listening to me bitch and moan and carry on and rant, and then not do anything about it, then what are you doing? You're just passing some time so you don't have to watch American Idol with your wife or with your husband or watch the baseball game with your boyfriend. If you're not going to get out there and get involved, then you're wasting your time sitting here listening to me. Ron's involved. Carl's involved. Lisa's involved. Gretchen's involved. We're all trying our best to get you off of the sofa and out on the streets, boots on the ground, to get this thing done, to take your country back. This is Missouri Grassroots Radio Network. It's the Hour of Truth. I'm Dave. We're going to take a break, and we're going to come back and look at the week coming up on Missouri Grassroots Radio Network.
Jobs, taxes, traditional family values, education, protecting the unborn, Second Amendment, tort reform. These are the issues facing Missourians today. Hi, I'm Terry Varner. As your next state senator, I will continue to work to change government by preserving our liberties, reining in wasteful spending, and making the state of Missouri responsive to its citizens. I am a pro-life constitutionalist who believes our state and federal constitution are there for our protection from overreaching government. I firmly believe that only by ignoring those documents has the government at all levels been able to trample on the liberty of this people. I would appreciate your vote this August 7th. I'm Terry Varner, and I approve this message.
$15,782,518,000,000, up 2 million during that commercial. Up 2 million, well, not really, not during that commercial. During that commercial in my last rant, since the last time I read this number to you about 7 minutes ago, up $2 million. Joanne Emerson, no more. You're fired. Terry Long, no more. You're fired. Todd Akin, no more. You're fired. Claire McCaskill, no more. You're fired. Go out there and get it done. Okay. Mondays and Thursdays, Missouri Grassroots Radio, 7 o'clock, the Hour of Truth. We're in a project now in the Hour of Truth, where we are vetting every race in the state of Missouri that has a Republican primary. Because as I've said in this show, as I've said in every show since we started this thing, this primary is where you take your country back. Forget the general election. If you let these guys slip through this primary and get to the general election, you've lost again. You've lost again because they're going to go to Washington, D.C., and they're going to do the same thing they did last time. If you let these rhinos get through the August 7th primary, you are screwed. So we are vetting every race in the state of Missouri, every Jefferson City race, that has a Republican primary. We're skipping any races that don't have Republican primaries because we either are going to get what we get or we're going to throw up our hands and say, oh, well. Every race that has a Republican primary we're dealing with Monday night, we're going to talk to Ed Emery. Now, we're going to take a break from that on Wednesday night, and we're going to talk to Cynthia Davis, a friend of ours who is running in the Constitution Party for the seat of lieutenant governor. I'm not ready to make any kind of endorsement in that race. I'm not a Constitution Party member. Listen, I'm not a Libertarian Party member either. I'm Libertarian by philosophy, but the National Libertarian Party won't have me because I won't sign a pledge that gives away our entire national defense. So there we go. And quite frankly, I won't have them either. But I'm a Libertarian, and most of the people in the Libertarian Party are Libertarians. But when you change from a movement to a party, you've lost it all. Beware Tea Party. So we're going to be talking to Cynthia. We'll give her as much of the 90 minutes as she wants because she has a lot to say about liberty and freedom and what ought to be going on up there. Then we're going to get right back on program. We'll be talking with Cunningham, Wells, and Franz over there in 33. We won't be talking with them because none of them have gotten back to us either, but we'll be talking about them. That's for darn sure, and that's the way we do it here. Tuesdays, Von Kericher comes along. Von's a character. Von Kericher, the character. We hope she'll be back Tuesday. She had an incredible emergency in the family. She took last Tuesday off. We did a best of Show Me Common Sense on Tuesday to give her a break to go take care of a family emergency. Our thoughts and prayers are still with Vaughn. Vaughn out there, whatever's going on, we haven't heard from her, but whatever's going on out there, Vaughn, our thoughts and prayers are with you as you struggle with this situation in your family. But she comes along on Tuesday nights with Show Me Common Sense. If you haven't heard one of these shows, please go to MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org, click in the Missouri Grassroots Radio Network button in the top left of the screen. Go to Missouri or Show Me Common Sense and listen to one of the podcasts. These are tremendous shows. Vaughn talks with the people, the conservative people who are down in the trenches every day working with the foster care program, working with the veterans, working with the lower income people who want to be and are conservative, working with the conservative African American movement, working with conservative issues in the streets. The amount of work that these people do, the amount of heart that these people have, make us at the Missouri Grassroots Coalition look like real rookies. These people are out there every day sweating bullets for liberty and for freedom, not just sitting around like me talking about it for 3, 4, 5 hours a week. These people are out there really pounding the pavement, really doing the work, really sweating and wiping their brow daily in the day-to-day work. And these are the people that Vaughn highlights and Show Me Common Sense. Wednesday, along comes our friend Lisa Payne Nager. Lisa's a homeschooler. She deals a lot with homeschooling issues. She and Gretchen come along and talk about education in Missouri. And then she always has the Patriot Spotlight where she talks. Lisa has a lot of guests. Where she talks with someone who is leading a small patriot group in some small town in some Missouri corner somewhere that is gathering people together to make a voice for liberty, Tea Party groups, 912 groups, conservative groups, women's groups, any group that has a conservative agenda and has a voice. Now, she does concentrate on groups right now that are partners in the Missouri Grassroots Coalition. You'd ought to get your group involved there. Send a representative or two or three or 14 to join Missouri Grassroots Coalition so that you are in touch with what the other groups in Missouri are doing, what they can do for you, and what they need from you. because only together are we going to get this done. But Lisa highlights one of them in a segment she calls the Patriot Spotlight. And then she has a segment called Yankee Doodle Legislation. She has Tom March usually comes along for that from Locke and Smith. He's the leader of the legislative committee over at Locke and Smith. And they talk about some piece of legislation that is absolutely worthless. In other words, a piece of legislation that does nothing. Oh my God, there are thousands of pieces of legislation that take time and energy and your money that do absolutely nothing except occasionally give some guy a stump back home to say, hey, look, I passed a bill that says you can't make noise in a church service because disturbing the peace laws aren't enough for churches. They need a special law. And then on Friday is a fun night. It is kind of a free speech night like tonight was. It's a free call-in night. It's an hour, and it is everyone who hosts a show, everyone who is part of the Missouri Grassroots Coalition and wants to and is free, comes along, and we just have a round table where we sit around and kick stuff around. Once in a while, we have a guest. Tomorrow, we're going to do a segment on how a bill really becomes a law and talk about all the little ins and outs of that. It's the Missouri Grassroots Roundtable on Friday nights at 7 o'clock. So tune in and catch all of those different shows. Next week or the week after, we're introducing a new one-hour segment. I don't know exactly what I'm going to call it, but it's going to be about Agenda 21. We have an expert, and I'm talking about an expert, a guy who has spent years, literally, studying Agenda 21, all its complexities and how all its little tentacles reach all the way from the United Nations, from the one world government down into your county and city and township and strangle you and take away not only the sovereignty of your village, not only the sovereignty of your state, but the very sovereignty of your nation is being preceded by this world government. So that's kind of the lineup on Missouri Grassroots Radio Network, kind of what we have coming up and some of the new things that we want. Monday night, we'll be talking to Ed Emery. Thursday, on Hour of Truth, we'll be carrying on with our vetting process. We'll have Cynthia Davis along. Carl Bearden's going to come along and talk to us about how a bill really becomes a law. That's it for tonight. Thank you for listening. This is Missouri Grassroots Radio Network. This is the Hour of Truth. I am Dave. Good night and God bless.
Missouri Grassroots Radio is brought to you by the Missouri Grassroots Coalition, a cooperative of independent Missouri groups whose aim is to restore constitutional government. Visit us at MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org, check out our Facebook page, and follow us on Twitter. You can contact us anytime at info@MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org. God bless and keep you till next time we meet.